pray that your Holy Spirit will help us understand that statement. And in understanding that statement, God, that we would do our very best to live for you, to act like you, to make choices you would make, to love people like you love them. And in doing so, God, we would truly be ambassadors for Jesus Christ wherever we find ourselves during the week. And that some would be curious, some would want to know why, and that we would have opportunity to tell them about you and your salvation that you offer. So, Father, we come to you this morning a grateful people. No matter where we find ourselves in this world's culture, we are grateful, God, because of what you have done for us, what you provide for us, for your Holy Spirit that infills us. Thank you, God, for that. And your word tells us to ask for what we want. So we have requests for you this morning, God. We pray for our district leader. We pray for Ken. And we thank you, God, for his surgery. We thank you, God, for his initial recovery. And we pray, God, that that recovery leads him to complete wholeness, complete healing. So be with him, God. May he sense today many of the churches that he oversees praying for him. And may that bring him peace. So be with him, God. And then, Father, for one of our own, for Kathy Bouchard, as she has an appointment coming up that will help determine the course of action. So we pray, God, for her, for her pain, for her mobility. I ask, God, that she would sense your presence, that her church, her home church, is praying for her. Be with her, God. May she get some good answers for her appointment upcoming. And may that lead to being pain-free. And then Derek, who's recovering from pancreatic cancer surgery. Very serious, Father. We know what that word means, pancreatic cancer. So I pray you be with Derek, God. I don't know if he knows you. But I pray that if he doesn't know you, that he'll give himself to you. And the great physician will do his will, whatever that would be. And then for Robert over at Essex Park. Robert has an upcoming surgery that he's asked us to pray about. So as Della is over there today with the group, I don't know if Robert is there and listening to this, but I lift up Robert to you, God, and I pray that he would sense your care, that he would sense your closeness, and that you will be with him in his upcoming surgery. And then also for his brother. I pray for his brother, Edward, who's been reported to us is at end of life. So I pray, God, that Edward would know you as Lord and Savior. And if he doesn't, that Robert could testify to him about your goodness. So be with that family, God, I pray. And then for Pastor Smek, all the way down in Kenya, as he raises these orphans, 15 or 16, whatever it is, I pray, God, you be with him. And for Rick, who's planning to go down there for a couple of months and help Pastor Smek build beds, build a chicken coop, paint the latrine that they built, and do other things, I pray that the arrangements for Rick will go smooth, that everything will come about in the first week of January, that he'll be off to Kenya. So be with Pastor Smek and his ministry, God. For Mike's brother, Paul, as he recovers from surgery, there were some good reports about what he said in the last couple of weeks. So I pray, Father, that Paul lays in a recovery bed right now, knowing the love and the forgiveness of his Savior. I pray you be with Mike as he interacts with him on a regular basis, and that you would use Mike as your ambassador, your mouthpiece for his brother. So I ask God that you would help him recover, that you would give him a pain-free existence. And I also pray, God, that he would have the peace of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there are people, God, all over the world in reality, suffering from natural disasters, trying to get their lives together. Somewhere in the world there's always some natural disaster happening. So I pray, God, for those who are affected. I pray, God, as we reach out in the Church of Nazarene with disaster kits and we try to help any way we can, people have been affected in this way. I pray, God, as a church, that we will do our very best to represent Christ well. And then, Lord, for our leaders, for our president, our Senate, our Supreme Court, those who lead this country in what I believe, God, is the greatest country on earth, I pray, God, that they could make decisions in accordance with your will, and that we would be known around the world as a country that follows the Bible. So, God, be with President Biden as he leads. Give him wisdom, God. Give him good decision-making that is outside of the realm of political correctness and politically motivated. May our leaders make decisions based on what is right. In doing so, God, set an example for the world. Of course, the world is at war in some places, in Africa and certainly Ukraine and other places. I pray, God, for those in the war zone. I pray, God, that peace would prevail. I can't imagine, Father, you ever want war. It's never part of your will. So I just pray, God, for there to be peace. And we thank you, of course, for our friend Simon being here today, God. We thank you for his gift. We thank you, God, for his ministry. We thank you, God, that we can enjoy that gift today. So be with us, God, for the rest of this time together. Be with Pastor Mike as he breaks open your word. What a privilege. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit will fill him. And as always, we don't want to hear from the preacher today. We want to hear from you. And I pray, God, that will be the case. So, Father, thank you for receiving our worship. I pray that it brings you pleasure to receive our worship this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Happy to report that there is Kingdom Kids if you'd like to head downstairs. This morning's scripture is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Good morning, church family. I am glad to be home. I've been feeling like John Wesley lately, the wandering preacher, here, there, and everywhere, like the Beatles would talk about. I want to greet you all. I want to greet all our friends and worshipers at Essex Park this morning. We're certainly glad that you're here with us worshiping online. Let me ask you a question. How many of you watch the show called Survivor? Anybody else watch Survivor? Anybody ever watched it at all? Okay. So the whole premise of Survivor is pretty simply this, right? You got a bunch of people who I think are kind of crazy actually to even be there in the first place. And they're given a bunch of impossible tasks, right? And then at the end of it, the person who wins is called what? You know, you remember? The sole survivor. How many of you want to be sole survivors? You want to be a sole survivor? You want to be a sole survivor? I don't. I don't want to be a sole survivor. You know what I want to be? I want to be an overcomer. Because God's people are not sole survivors. We collectively become overcomers. That's what the Word of God is teaching us this morning. And we're going to dig into that. So, as we know, over the last several weeks, Pastor Gene has looked at this letter, and we've looked at a bunch of important things, I think. We looked at how the first century church had been invaded by Gnosticism, bad teaching, false teachers, and what it was causing was this incredible exodus of the church. People were leaving in droves. And the Apostle John, being, I guess, kind of like the district superintendent, senior pastor, or the leader of all of these churches, was obviously extremely concerned. In fact, I would go and venture to say as much as it was probably breaking his heart to see what was going on in the life of these churches. And so he sets out to instruct his people not to get sucked in, if you will, by the world. And that was what was happening. He wanted them to be aware of these false teachers and to ultimately own the mission of proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's what our mission is too. Each one of us are called to own the mission, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to be overcomers. And in this scripture this morning, John lays out some specific methods and descriptions of how fully devoted followers of Jesus can have a victorious Christian life. So let me ask you a question again now. Do you want to be a soul survivor, or do you want to have a victorious Christian life? Which do you want? Tell me. Speak to me. Victorious Christian life. Anybody here not want a victorious Christian life? How many of you, don't raise your hand, struggle with that? I think if you're human, to some degree, we do at various points in our walk. How do we do this? How do we live this life in such a way that we know that the Holy Spirit has our hearts completely and fully? How do we do that? Well, in this first part of the scripture, John is telling us that we need to be able to truly overcome the world. He writes again, and I'm going to repeat what Beth just got reading to us so eloquently. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah, is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are what? Not burdensome? No, they're definitely not. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. First and foremost, to be an overcomer, you and I must have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We must hold true to the confession of the finished work of Christ in our lives. And that truly is the only evidence of being born again. If you have not settled that fact in your heart completely and fully, then you're lost in your sin. By faith, we turn to Jesus, we confess our sins, our shortcomings, and we invite him into our lives to lead us, to guide us, and to allow him to control our destinies. I'm going to just stop right now because I know that we've been saying to you, half the church isn't saved. At least that's what I keep hearing. And I don't know if that's really the case here. I happen to believe that majority of us have a good relationship with Christ. But maybe somebody here is struggling. And so we're going to just stop right now, and we are just going to pray. And I want you to pray along with me. And if you've never prayed this prayer before, what I would like you to do is come and talk to me after the service. If you have prayed this prayer before, but you're struggling with your faith, come and talk to me after the service, okay? So let's pray. God, we know that as human beings, we always have shortcomings, that none of us are perfect. But I really believe that you desire to perfect our hearts in your holiness. I really believe, Father, that you desire us to be strong Christians, to be true overcomers of Christ, in Christ. And so this morning, I pray that you would look at our hearts, and if there's something there between us, God, that you would forgive us. We confess it before you. We confess our shortcomings. We confess our sins, and we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come and testify to our hearts, even right now, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would sanctify us and set us above all things, that you would strengthen us, God, that you would help us to walk in the power, the grace, and the mercy of your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always good to reinforce your faith, even if it means praying that prayer again. That's a good thing. It really is. So, let me start with something here. Now that we've prayed that way, let me tell you something. The devil is not pleased with your decision. I hope you understand that. Satan hates the fact that you and I have chosen Jesus. Completely and fully, he hates that fact. Okay, so what do you think he's going to try to do about it? I can tell you what he's going to try to do about it. He is going to come to war against you and me. And if you don't know we're in a spiritual war, let me remind you that this is what it really is. We are in a spiritual war, and I can tell you, just all you got to do is open your eyes to what's going on in our world today. If you don't think that the world and the world system is at our throats and hates Christians and hates Christianity. Well, then, brother, you need an extra cup of coffee and wake up and smell it. All right? So the enemy is at our doorstep, and the enemy wants to mess us up. He does not want you to be an overcomer. You know that, right? He does not want you to have a victorious Christian life. And he's going to do everything within his power to stop that from happening. Paul reminds us in Ephesians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're in a spiritual war, and the first rule of warfare is to know how your enemy operates. Have you ever noticed that the first words we have recorded of Satan in Genesis 3? What does he do? According to Genesis 3:1, what was he trying to do? Did God really say that if you eat at the tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil, you will die? Did God really say that? What was he trying to do? He's trying to create doubt. Did God really say if you pray the prayer that Jesus is going to be your Savior? He's trying to create doubt. Did God really say that if you trust him, he will lead you through this life? He's trying to create doubt. There's no question about it. You might recall from 1 John chapter 2, when Pastor Dreen preached a couple of weeks ago, the apostle wrote this: for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, cannot come from the Father, but from the world. And I would go on to say, who controls the world today? You've probably read in some of the prophetic scriptures about Satan being called the prince of the power of the air. Make no mistake, Satan has control of this world. There is no question in my mind or my heart about it. You know, he can't control me because I belong to Jesus. He can't control you because you belong to Jesus. But the world that we live in is definitely going south real quick these days. There is more evil in the world today than probably at any point in recorded history. And when the Bible speaks of the world, it's not talking about the planet. It's not talking about people or its inhabitants. It is speaking of a system that is designed to keep our eyes on our own selfish desires, whether it's lust, possessions, sport teams, social media. The list can go on and on and on. When we get focused on those things, my friends, we're not focused on Jesus. And when we lose our focus, doubts invade our minds and our hearts. There's an old fable that says that the devil once held a sale and offered all the tools of his trade to anyone who would pay the price. And he spread them out over a big table, kind of like when we used to have the auctions back here for the teens back in the day. And he labeled each one of them, and he had hatred and malice and envy and despair and sickness and pride and lust, all the weapons that everyone knows so well. But off to one side there laid a harmless-looking wood-shaped instrument marked doubt and discouragement. It was old and worn-looking, but it was priced far above the rest of the tools that were there. And when asked the reason why, the devil simply replied, because I can use this one so much more easily than the others. No one knows that it belongs to me, so that I can open doors that are tightly shut, bolted against the others. And once I get inside, I can use any tool that suits me best. Doubt and despair. So what can we do, brothers and sisters? What can we do to avoid the devil and his schemes to overwhelm our lives? Well, we need to be passionate about who we are in Christ. We need to be passionate overcomers. You should be more than excited that Jesus is your Savior. Say amen. I want to hear it. Yeah. You believe it? Do you believe God is your Savior? Do you love Jesus this morning? Amen. Are you really excited about him? Is he the driving force in your life, the driving force in the life of our church? This is what we need to be doing. This is what we need to be passionate about. I'm going to go off my notes here for a minute, and I'll tell you what bothers me. See all this? What do you see here? I see empty seats. Do you know what that means? There's somebody within a sphere of our influence that we know that we really need Jesus. If we're really passionate about what we believe, if we're really passionate about who Jesus is, what are we doing about that? Are we just holding that to ourselves? Or are we doing what we're called to do, which is to share the good news of Christ? Just saying. Just saying. The bottom line is that we have to purposely and passionately choose to follow Jesus and walk in his victory. Once again, let's look at the verse that says this. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And with the context of this verse, we're reminded of, really, in one sense, it reminded me of what the Ten Commandments said. It's the structure, in one sense, for us to live in passionate obedience and to honor the Lord. Do you remember what Jesus said? Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. How many of you have seen the story of Chariots of Fire? You know, it's already up there, huh? Eric Liddell. What a great story this guy has. Totally amazing. He basically ran in the 1924 Olympics and won the gold medal in the 400 meter. Now, Eric, when you do any research on him, you figure out this guy's got a real passion for running, but his passion for God was even stronger than his passion for running. He was originally scheduled to run in the 100 meter, but it was going to run on a Sunday, and because Eric was a committed Christian, he made the choice not to run. And he took a lot of garbage for that. They had meetings, and they were trying to convince him that what you're doing is wrong, on and on and on. But he would not back down. He stood his ground for Christ and for his faith. He was really prepared to give up his dream of being this champion runner because his passion for God was greater than his passion for that particular race. In the end, he ran the 400 meter, and on the day of the 400 meter race, by the way, which he had not really prepared for, he went into the starting blocks, and there was an American masseur who slipped a piece of paper into his hands with a quotation from 1 Samuel 2:30, and it said this: "Those who honor me, I will honor." Liddell ran with that piece of paper in his hands. He not only won the race, but he broke the existing world record at that time with a time of 47.6 seconds. Liddell was certainly a man that was filled with passion, passion for running, but even more important, a passion for Jesus. Do we have that kind of passion? Do you and I have that same kind of passion? I don't know what excites you in life, you know? But does Jesus excite you more than anything else? I think that's important. I think it's critical. So, next, what we need to have, if we're going to be truly passionate, we need to have this faith that overcomes, an overcoming faith. Now, faith is this incredible gift from God, as you know. Faith is not something that human beings can invoke in their own power. Again, pointing to Paul in Ephesians 2, he writes, "For it is by grace you are saved, and through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The faith that God gives his children is a faith that's fortified by his love. It's transformative in our lives as we surrender and we become more and more and more like Jesus. And it is this faith, this incredible gift of God, that enables each of us to overcome the world, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the devil. You've heard those three before, the world, the flesh, and the devil. God's faith in Christ helps us to be overcomers in those areas. In his commentary on 1 John chapter 5, Matthew Henry writes this: faith is the cause of victory. The means, the instrument, the spiritual armor by which we overcome, and in and by faith, we cleave to Christ in the contempt of and in opposition to the world. Faith sanctifies the heart. It purifies us from sensual lust by which the world obtains sway and domination over souls. It has the indwelling spirit of grace, which is greater than he who dwells in the world. Amen. The real Christian overcomes the world by faith. He sees in and by the life and the conduct of the Lord Jesus on earth that this world is to be renounced and overcome. He cannot be satisfied with the world, but looks beyond the world and is still tending, striving, and pressing towards heaven. We must all, after Christ's example, overcome the world, or it will overcome us to our ruin. Being an overcomer really boils down to having faith and putting that choice of faith into action. Faith is not a benign word. Faith is not something that's a noun, it's a verb. Faith indicates action, a choice to follow through, to exercise really what you believe and make it happen in your life, and then really explode that truth out into the world that you and I are going into on a daily basis. We have to choose to have an attitude of obedience. Jesus, in turn, empowers us to live above the world and its influences. We need to do that. We need to have a strong testimony of faith. We haven't had Testimony Sunday here in what, a couple of weeks? When was the last time we had a Testimony Sunday, Gene? 4 months. How's your testimony? Is your testimony up to date? Is God active in your life today? What's he doing to change you, to make you more like himself? I challenge somebody in this room this morning that the next time we have a Testimony Sunday, you'll come forward and share your testimony with us. Do you know why that's important? Two reasons. First, it's going to encourage us. But secondly, even more important, it's going to encourage you. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Testimonies are critical. Testimonies cement in our hearts what we believe to be a real thing. In John, in verses 6 through 12, here's what John says. He says this: this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony. How are you doing? You checking yourself? Whoever believes in God has this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty obvious. Plain statement of facts. As followers of Jesus, we need to ensure that our testimony is current and relative. Human beings are born of water, which points to the physical birth of Jesus. Blood indicates that the blood of Christ that was spilled on Calvary's cross is efficacious, strong enough, powerful enough to wash your sins away, to wash my sins away. God has paid the price through his Son. And we have we also are born of the Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And in this verse, John emphasizes God's testimony about Jesus. In this writing, John is clearly demonstrating that Jesus is what we would call the God-man. I can't remember the exact theological term. Theanthropos or something like that, maybe theanthropos, God-man. And basically what he was doing was refuting the Gnostic teaching that had invaded the church. In his first gospel, John writes this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is God's testimony of incarnation, first by water as followers of Jesus. The first area of obedience is baptism. That's if you become saved, the first thing he says is be baptized. Now, I don't know how many of you, I'm thinking most of us have been baptized, but I'll tell you what, if you haven't been baptized, you need to come and talk to Pastor Gene or myself. We want to baptize you, and we will set up a service to do that. So that's an important step of obedience. Be baptized. Baptism is not going to save us. You know, we don't believe that, but baptism rather is a testimony of what the Lord has done in the life of the believer. In Matthew chapter 3, the apostle recalls the day that Jesus was baptized. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But when John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you,'" and probably a pretty good recognition at that, "'and you come to me,' and Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.'" And then John consented. So to fulfill all righteousness likely means acting in obedience to God in a way that coordinates what's going inside of a person, the person's inner disposition, if you will, and then taking some external action so that we demonstrate to the world around us who we are, what we believe, and why we believe it. Jesus' first step in public ministry is really a combination of a compliant spirit and a powerful public display of his obedience to God's call. Secondly, the testimony of the blood plays an important role. It was Jesus' sacrifice that opened the door for salvation to humanity. Paul writes this: "In your relationship to one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." Thirdly, we must have the witness of the Holy Spirit who assures us of our adoption into God's family. All of these things are essential for an overcomer's life. And this is not the end state, my friends. This is just the beginning. Your relationship with God has to, for the whole time that you're on this planet, needs to be a continuous growth in grace. We don't get saved, sanctified, and petrified. Amen? You know what it means when you're petrified? It means you stop in your tracks. No. We are continuously learning and growing and being stretched by the Holy Spirit, calling us to greater heights of service to the kingdom, calling us to a deeper depth of relationship with him. The deeper we go, the more we know, the more he can use us. This is the testimony of every true believer. To cement these truths in our minds and our hearts, we, as followers of Jesus, must give testimony to the work that God has done and continues to do in each one of us. It is our firm confession of Christ as Lord that empowers us to victory, that empowers us to be overcomers. Revelation 12:11 puts it this way: They triumphed over him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, God, Christ's sacrifice, and by the word of their testimony. Brothers and sisters, if you truly believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, you need to speak it out. You need to articulate it so that people around you can hear it. You need to articulate it so that you can hear it in your own head. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Those two go hand in hand and will strengthen us as we choose to live for Christ and have an incredible, overpowering, and overcoming life in the name of Christ. Amen. 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 How many of you want to live like that? I know that's what I want. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. This road that we walk, this pilgrim pathway, if you will, is going to be filled with challenges along the way. Life happens. Let's face it. Life is not perfect. Thank you, by the way, for praying for my brother, Paul. His life is certainly far from perfect in these days. But let me share something with you that I've already shared with the staff. I visited Paul in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And Paul's cognitive situation is not exactly great. But we got talking. He said to me, and he looked at me. He says to me, "Why are you looking at me that way for?" I said, "Because you're funny looking, right?" That's what I tell him. But he said to me, "You're looking at your dying brother." And I said, "Man, you're not going to die until God calls you." And he looked at me and had tears in his eyes and he said, "Jesus is my Savior." I couldn't have asked for a better blessing in that day. I really couldn't. And then at the end of it all, I asked him if I could pray for him and anoint him, and he allowed me to do that. My brother said, just at the beginning of his spiritual journey. But he's made the transition. And I give God praise for that. And I give God praise because Paul knows not only my life, but a bunch of my friends who have committed themselves to Christ. My wife, he knows Kathy is a committed Christian. He knows his nieces and nephews, especially Libby and the kids, they're all committed Christians. And that speaks volumes to people. The word of our testimony goes a long, long, long way. What more can I say? What else can I say to convince you of this? You know, John writes in 1 John 4:4, and I think you might have covered this last week, Gene, but you, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen, amen to that. Amen. You know you have more power over the enemy than you could possibly even begin to imagine. Because you belong to Jesus. Because he has filled your life. Because you really are overcomers if you're walking with Christ. And Satan cannot overcome the Son of God. Which means Satan cannot overcome you. In accepting these truths and living them out, we are assured of God's gift of eternal life. Let me just share a couple of quick concluding thoughts. This has not been one of my longest messages, but I think it's been kind of pointed and right to the point in what we needed to hear this morning. It is by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the enemy of our souls. And how does an overcomer live his or her life? Number one, you don't rely on human strength and ability, because if you depend on yourself, you're not going to make it. You will get frustrated. So you do not depend on yourself. Number two, you and I choose to surrender. Not 90%, not 95%, not even 99%. 100% totally sold out to Jesus. Are you living that way today? Are you living that way today? Are you 100% sold out to Jesus? After all, he is the real victor and overcomer, amen? Third, continuously seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in. He's the one that empowers us to live the victorious, overpowering, overcoming Christian life. And we need to seek him. I need to talk to him every day. I need to seek him every day. You know, it's kind of like, this is kind of a really bad analogy, but it's kind of like a car battery. If you don't start your car up every day, does your car battery live or die? Eventually it's going to die, all right? When you start the car up, it's charging, you know, it's getting charged. The Holy Spirit needs to come in and charge you every day. He needs to charge you up every day. And you need to ask him to do that. Finally, we have to pray and trust Jesus to live his overcomer's life in our lives. It always comes down to that. Faith, trust, seeking the power of Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, and living a victorious life because you want to, because you're passionate about who Jesus is in your life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, this morning, truly more than anything, we want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and we want to live the life of an overcomer. If we're honest, Lord, we know that there have probably been times in our lives when we've fallen short of that goal. If we're honest, we know there are times that we've probably disappointed you. But even in spite of that, you still love us. You still work with us. You still challenge us. You still call us to a deeper, deeper relationship that will help us to live as overcomers in Christ. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I pray that your Spirit would just overwhelm them. I pray that they would be able to leave this place encouraged, knowing that they are overcomers, that you have called them to this, and that you love them beyond any love that's humanly possible, that the love of God surpasses all other things that we don't really know or understand, but the love of God empowers us to live and love Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. I certainly pray that you would continue to lead us through and help us to be the people that you have called us to be. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Naomi, and today I'd like to talk about my kids. Don't worry, all awesome things. Specifically, decluttering. I really enjoyed when the kids were little and didn't notice when toys disappeared. And I still remember the first time my eldest son said, "Mommy, where firetwak?" because he noticed that a toy had disappeared, and I thought, oh boy, it's over now. So we always went through toys before Christmas, and twice a year we go through their clothes, still to this day, and they get to make all the decisions, and I try to make it fun by playing upbeat music. No one loves it, but we get it done. And when the kids were little, I tried to explain in the simplest language I could think of that over time, we practice. This process gets easier because you're making your letting go muscle stronger and stronger. So I tried to put it in the simplest, most child-friendly way possible. And now they're teenagers, and they have very strong letting go muscles. And it's not unusual for one of them to hand me a toy or clothes or a bag of stuff unprompted and tell me, "I'm done with this." And stay with me. This is theology according to Naomi. You're not gonna find this in the Bible, but I was thinking that the practice of generosity is our letting go muscle. And it's our mindset going into the offering. And our tithes and offerings might go towards something unglamorous like printer paper or paying the power bill, but it all goes towards God's kingdom. So if the ushers can please come forward.